This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
All right, and good morning. Welcome into another Wednesday edition of The Blitz live here on Fan Run Radio. Thank you for tuning in, FM 105.7 AM 1340. As always, up over at fanrunradio.com. Click that live link at the top and you'd listen to the stream there, powered by our friends over at MyBookie. We also got the free Fan Run Radio app still in app stores for you to download. Get all the 12 hours of programming here at Fox Sports Knoxville right in the palm of your hands. Hey, we got the Periscope up and running if you want to follow along with us there on Facebook and Twitter. That's at Fox Sports Knox. Chance Collins, Charlie Collier, GP3 en route. He will join us as we move along. He'll be here shortly. But another hump day, another Wednesday, another victory for the basketball Vols. Before we get all of that, though, let's check on everybody's mental health. Charlie, how are you doing this morning?
Doing amazing.
Feeling good?
Oh, I'm feeling great.
Are you getting out of your nervous bug?
This morning, instead of nervous, it was like fire.
Anticipation.
Fire. Like I'm ready to wrestle like a tornado right now. Fight a hurricane.
Ready to run through a couple brick walls.
Jiu-jitsu, an earthquake. Like I'll fight all the natural disasters in any which way. I'm ready to, yeah, just to punch through walls, buildings. I just want to, like, fight right now. Like, I want to go. So, I don't know. I think this is probably worse than nervous, honestly, because, like, I still just have nowhere to channel this energy for 3-4 days. But, no, it's been a good morning. I got my coffee this morning. I woke up early enough to go get some. The shuffle. Every morning I shuffle my, like, 22,000 songs on my phone.
The and shuffle was on this morning.
The shuffle
it was
gave
slapping.
Me,
it was gave slapping.
Me back-to-back Kirk Franklin.
Oh, okay.
Then some Toby Keith.
I like Kirk Franklin.
Yeah. Then finish it off with a little Kendrick.
Okay.
That's a good morning.
Nice.
That's a good morning.
You had a very positive morning then.
I was like, I smile. Even when it hurts, I was just going at
it. I like it.
I'm having a good morning. I'm ready to go.
Shout out to Charlie. Great morning for
How's
him.
Your morning? How's your day? Your night?
My
your
night? Night, day was good. My night last night, actually, I went out for a little bit, and I played in the dart tournament. I won. You got first place.
You won.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's go.
Reggae horn. Probably don't have it on yet, though.
Huh?
The sound. Laptop.
Yeah, I definitely do not have that on. I didn't even really consider putting it on, but I have it on now.
There we go. Victory last night in the dart tournament. So I won that. Let's see. Woke up this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I got some drops over here,
love
too.
Love Lil Jon. Love Lil Jon. Need to incorporate him more. So did that. Woke up this morning feeling like you, like pretty refreshed. Woke up around the normal time, 9 o'clock. Normally, I just wake up whenever the fiance is leaving for work. So I woke up, took the dogs out. I'm not a big coffee person, though. Only coffee I like is like cold coffee, frappuccinos, iced coffees, things of that nature. So we got the Keurig at the house, but I never get the coffee. I don't need it, though. I'm pretty much a feet hit the ground. I'm ready for the day. So did that. I went to the gym yesterday, too. So I felt feeling very refreshed lately, like trying to get back on my gym vibes and trying to lose weight before this baby comes. And, yeah, man, I'm feeling pretty good. It was a good night.
So we're having a good day.
And then last night, after I got done with the dart tournament, top it all off, Tennessee beats Vanderbilt. It was a close one, too. It was a very close one.
Hey, we covered, baby. Great teams cover.
Great teams do cover. It got scary there for a little bit there down the end. And I even called the score. That never happens. I should have put that on with our friends over on FanDuel. Correct score by me. I got lucky. But, it was a very productive, nice, rounded Tuesday night heading into this morning. Hope everybody out there is doing great, too. But, first things first, Tennessee does win I guess we're going to call it the proverbial must-win game. I heard that being thrown around by a lot of our counterparts here at the station. It was a must-win type of game for the Vols to get the fans back on your side, get a little confidence back in the team and the coaching. But at the same time, you don't want to lose to Vandy and really get in a hole in conference play in the SEC. And Tennessee did handle it. As Charlie said, they covered, outlast Vandy, and not without a great effort from Scottie Pippen Jr. What did you think about the game, Charlie? I mean, for a Vandy game, it was entertaining. And maybe you don't want that as a Vol fan. You just want to go out there and blow them out. But it was an entertaining basketball game.
Yeah, first of all, I've always hated, hated the idea of labeling games must-win games or whatever else. Every game's a must-win game, I feel like.
Yeah, no, it's very true.
I've never been a big fan of that. However, last night, a lot of people are going to be frustrated still. And rightfully so. The offense still just looks lost at times. However, I enjoyed watching the game last night. I thought that the intensity, the fight was there. And, for as much as you want to criticize this team for, if you want to criticize their fight, their heart, their hard work, their intensity, their effort, then you're wrong. And that's the most frustrating part, is because, as a human being, it's just you're taught that hard work pays off, that, if you put in the work, you will have the success. And this team continues to just bust their ass, man.
Yeah, I heard some
time and time again, and it's like you're not really getting the results, even though you're working as hard as they are, and that's the most frustrating thing. But I enjoyed watching it.
I think they work hard too, and I heard a lot of this zone. Russell and Bear and Jake's show yesterday. A lot of the Negaval callers, but people really questioning if they had given up after that last. I was like, I don't think so at all. I never, when I watch them, I feel like they're giving it their all. Just either they can't get the ball in the hoop, or they had struggle. You can say they struggled getting out and defending Kentucky, and then the game versus LSU was pretty bad. But I've never questioned their heart. You got a lot of guys that play very hard on this basketball team, and that are giving it their all out there. We had some performers last night that, guys that have come a long way in this program. We'll talk about it here in the next segment, though, but Juroš Plašić. Also, what a get, still looking back, and he got him late. Zakai Ziegler. What a get by Rick Barnes. That guy, you want to talk about heart and determination out there, smallest guy on the floor. Yeah,
that's the hardest working guy in the SEC.
He has to be. It's one of the smallest guys in the SEC, if not the smallest. And, he plays like he's 6'6 out there. He really does. He has a lot of heart. And I'm glad that Rick Barnes was able to scoop him up early. Scoop him up late and able to snag him on this team. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. That is the number to get on the G3 Help Me hotline. We'll take a quick timeout, come back on the other side, and break down the win versus Vanderbilt in Nashville. Keep locked here for more of the Blitz, more Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Blitz, live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hope that you did enjoy the White Claw. It was flowing with me last night as watching the Vols pull out a close one. It was a close one in Nashville. But you're on the Big Orange and all of your favorite teams, the White Claw Hard Seltzer. Maybe kick back with the playoffs this weekend starting on Saturday. It's crafted with quality ingredients. White Claw Hard Seltzer is made from a blend of seltzer water, a gluten-free alcohol base, and just a hint of fruit flavor. Only 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar. and 5% alcohol, available in 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. Now, I like the mango, but you can get the variety pack. Please drink responsibly. All right, Charlie. Big win last night, 68-60. Tennessee, let's talk about the game.
Did you see the shot that Tennessee basketball Twitter took at Vanderbilt?
They're pretty good lately.
Social media, yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Well, you know how Vandy, after Tennessee lost in the Music City Bowl, was like wins in Nashville. Vandy, check. Tennessee, no. And, you know, of course, they didn't even include ETSU. But yeah. Tennessee men's basketball Twitter tweeted, men's basketball wins versus SEC opponents in Nashville last 4 years. Tennessee, 7. Vanderbilt, 5. You might also recall we play our home games in Knoxville. So nice. They get the last laugh.
They do get the last
playing laugh. Vandy always just gets me.
I get pretty hyped up for it.
I despise them more than anything on the planet, I think.
It is a certain amount of a certain level of arrogance that Vandy fans have. Maybe it's because they're, you know, prep school, you know, private school, and you know, it's very expensive and a lot of money around there, but we own them in sports. We own them in sports, and that is never going to change as long as Tennessee keeps the right people over there on the hill. You should never be losing to Vandy. And Tennessee went out and handled business last night. Like I said, 68-60 on the back of, you know, great play by Zakai Ziegler down the stretch. I would say Urosh was definitely key in a lot of different moments there late too, getting key rebounds, putbacks. But it was Santiago Vescovi with 14 and Kenny Chandler with 13 to be the leading scorers for your sixth straight win on the road against Vandy and the ninth in a row in the series. So getting it done. But like I said, Euros playing probably the biggest role. And I feel like that's probably the most points he's had as a Volunteer. He finished with 13 points and 7 rebounds, getting the start over John Fulkerson. Barnes wasn't playing about sitting Fulky if he's not going to be the guy out there and if they can't depend on him. He did it. He sit him. And what'd you think about Urosh's play and, you know, Zakai Ziegler as well, Charlie?
We've been saying this about Urosh, that
he's getting stronger. I don't know what people's gripe is with him, but he's definitely became a better player. You can say Barnes developed him into at least being a little bit more confident out there.
No, I mean, I've been fighting for the guy all year. And then against Alabama, you know, he really started to help you out, especially in that second half. He's been good in SEC play. You know, he knew what he was doing against Mississippi State. LSU, obviously, he gives you 12 points in the second half to even give you a chance to win that game. And then, you know, he's continued his good play with 13 last night.
He's got the frame. He has the body for it.
He is the most limited player, just in terms of his skill set. He is by far the most limited player that we have in our front court. He is also the strongest, the most confident, the smartest, and the hardest working player that we have in the front court. He knows exactly what his limitations are. He plays not to those limitations, but instead to his strengths. He knows how to mask those limitations as good as he possibly can. And he just plays hard. He plays exactly the way that Rick Barnes coaches him to play. How he is, I mean, just the technical, you know, wizard that he is. He is a very technically sound, physical, strong, hardworking basketball player, and it's working. And he's absolutely earned these minutes. I imagine he continues to at least play significant minutes, if not just stay in the starting lineup. And, you know, it's not to say that Fulkerson played bad last night. I actually thought that Fulkerson played a very good game last night. Maybe not very good. Like, I guess I'm not going to put the very in front of good because, you know, you didn't get the offensive output that you maybe would still like to get from him. But I did think that he had a little extra fire to him. It rotated very well defensively, did an exceptional job defending the pick and roll. I thought he was out there fighting on defense and fighting for loose balls, fighting for block shots, fighting for rebounds. So, you know, I was pleased with the effort you got from John Fulkerson last night. But honestly, I mean, at this point, Urosh does need to stay in the starting lineup in my eyes. And maybe you go Folky and Urosh and put Kamwa on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I like Yurosh out there, and then maybe you spark something in Folky to where in these next couple of games, you know, he gets out of his funk, and then you can later insert him back into the starting lineup. Sometimes coaches do that. Like, you know, I'm going to sit you for a couple of games, have you coming off the bench, 6th, 7th guy in the rotation, then maybe you can get back into the flow and get that confidence and get him back out there in the starting lineup. But I do like Yurosh. I mean, if he's going to continue to play aggressive the way he is, you know, getting those rebounds, put back. He had a huge put back late when Vanderbilt was on their run. It's what started the 8-0 run to close the game for Tennessee. So I've been very pleased with his play this year. You know, you say, like, yes, he's very limited with skill set. He's not, you know, the most, like, fleet of feet, and he doesn't have quick feet down there. But he has a lot of potential. You know, we've seen him year to year. I mean, we wouldn't even thought that he'd be getting a start, let alone adding 13 points and 7 rebounds in his performance. So he does have a lot of upside because of his size and his strength and his ability and stature down there. But it's like, you know, he's got to put it all together. Right now, we're seeing progress. I wouldn't say that he's complete or he's wowing anybody, but we're seeing progress in that aspect. Yeah, John Fulkerson only played, 17 minutes, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. Not bad. Justin Powell, he and Santiago Vescovi went 4-7 from the 3 in the first half. That's where he got his 8 points as well. He played better. He got more minutes. He had 29 minutes on the night. Kenny Chandler led all players, 31 out there, and he was consistent. This is where his average is, right around 13 points, right? So he got his 13, 4-4. And I thought he led the game well. You know, pace, he was great out there for the most part. Brandon Huntley Hatfield, for everything that we thought that he was taking big steps, he played 13 minutes, only 1 rebound. Didn't really affect much.
Yeah, so, I mean, first taking that back, Justin Powell, you know, getting to play with Josiah Jordan James injured.
Oh, yeah, Triple J goes down at halftime with, what, a concussion?
First half, like, he only played 2 minutes, or, like, not 2 minutes, 4 minutes.
4 minutes, he only played, right.
Yeah, so he got bumped on the head, and then Justin Powell pretty much took over most of those minutes. Victor Bailey gave it a go, failed. So Justin Powell comes in, takes those minutes, and I would say didn't do a terrible job. You know, he still got beat defensively a couple times, and 2 of 6 from the field is not great, but 8 points, you know, I felt like he looked more confident out there at least. He did shoot the ball off of clean passes when he was open. You know, I thought he did make some smart passes, move the ball decently. So I was pleased with him. You know, I'm not overwhelmed by him or anything, but I was pleased with him. And then, you know, you talk about Kennedy Chandler, and for the most of the night, he was good. You know, there's still some boneheaded turnovers. I think sometimes he gets himself too deep without really having a plan. You know, there was a time that he turned it over on the baseline. It's just like, hey, if you're going to dribble down there, you better know what you're going to do with it before you go down there. You can't get stuck down there. You know, you're not going to be able to get out of it. So there are still a couple turnovers for him, but, you know, I thought overall he played a pretty good game. You got your 14 from Vescovi, and then you mentioned Huntley Hatfield. What a disappointing night that was for him. And, you know, I don't want to rag on him. I still believe that he can become what this team at least kind of needs him to be. But you finally get extra opportunities, and for the most part, you look lost. Still, you know, the off-the-ball movement, there's no confidence in what you're doing. You know, you start to go set a screen, and then you slip out of it. Then you just kind of drop back and just go back and forth with some weak post-ups on either side. You know, the defense wasn't overly aggressive. He did block a shot and a pass from smaller players, but when he was backed down by bigger players, you know, I didn't think the physicality was great. There was a time that, you know, he had slipped open and he'd already turned his head to the basket for a rebound, and the pass came to him and it just went out of bounds. Still need more out of him, but I did like that he got to play a little bit, I guess, at this point. Like, I'm cool with him continuing to play 13-plus minutes to see if he can figure it out. Yeah. However, 1 rebound, 0 points, 0 assists, and 3 fouls in 13 minutes is not going
to
cut it.
Yeah, if he's if he's not scoring, you'd like to see him, like you say, be aggressive out there, still getting rebounds, not getting himself in, you know, three stupid fouls and not really contributing to the team. But he'll come along. He has came along. He's just got to be consistent with it. We were talking about Yurosh and his development. Well, Barnes had a lot to say about that after the game. He said he is as authentic and as real, and he's had some tough times when he's wanted to play. I can't tell you why, really, what made him change. It was a couple weeks ago, you could just tell, he finally said, hey, I'm going to do exactly what this team needs. He does that. He's got a great voice on the court. You talked about that. He talks. He's a guy that can move the ball for us, but he's waited for an opportunity, and I thought he made the most of it. But I think your point is well taken in the fact that he's worked hard. He's really hung in there with it. You look at our team, the best teams we've had, that kind of mirrors what happens with it. You go back to really our best teams, it's guys that have bought into the program and they believe in it and they stick with it. And if they do, good things will happen for them. I think Barnes hit it right on the spot. I mean, we've seen that happen with Admiral and Grant. And I'm not saying Yurosh Plavšić is the type of player that Admiral and Grant were for the Tennessee basketball program. But he definitely does seem like he's one of the voices out there. Still don't know who is the, you know, the leader on the team. It seems like it's a collective of guys. We thought that it would be John Fulkerson coming back, but it's not him. As much as he'd like to. I mean, he loves Tennessee, wears Tennessee on his heart and on his sleeve, but it's not him. So you need guys like that, like Yurosh. The status on Triple J, Barnes said he's got to be evaluated. I'm sure we'll hear some more about that today. And then lastly here, I thought this echoes exactly what we've been talking about on Zakai Ziegler setting the tone in the second half with his defense. He said, quote, Zakai, I've said before, it's in his DNA. I wish I could coach that. I would give it to everybody. He's fearless. He's learned so much about the game. Paraphrasing some of this here. Again, I don't know where we would be without him. I really don't know where this team would be without him. They absolutely need that guy out there every night. He went on to say he's going to fight you on both ends. They know he's going to give it everything he's got there at the end of the game. He went up and made some plays. He's willing to do that. He's tough. He's mentally tough. He's physically tough.
I mean, what he got, all 11 of his points from the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
Was 11 of 12. Coming into the night, the team had free throw issues. The team had issues in the Kentucky game, stopping guards taking them off the dribble. Well, he cuts everyone off all night, ends up with 4, maybe 5 steals, plays some great on and off ball defense. I mean, he just gives you what you need.
Yeah, Barnes,
he knows just how to step up.
He went back to the Texas Tech game. He said, we saw that from him early in the season in the Texas Tech game when they were trying to post he and Kennedy, and both of those guys fought there. It's DNA. It's his makeup. It affects all of us, to be quite honest with you. The coaches believe in him. The players believe in him. You can't help it. What you see him do in the game, he does it in practice every day. So great words of praise and encouragement right there from head coach Rick Barnes on Zakai Ziegler. 865-546-8200. That's our number if you want to jump in on the discussion. Phone lines are open. We're going to welcome in GP3. We'll get his thoughts on the game. We'll continue to talk about that. Tennessee handling business. It was 3 road losses, and then you get a win versus Vandy. So back to business. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz. Welcome back to the Blitz here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. GP3 with us now. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Good to be here.
Good to have you here. Hey, shout out to the Queen, Queen Dolly. It's her birthday today. How old is Dolly Parton?
I don't have that information.
She don't look a day older than 30, Chance.
You would still.
I'd take her to Chili's.
We know what that means. She is 76.
Wow. 76. Wow. I thought she was older.
I mean, she got a lot
I
of
thought
money.
She was, I don't know.
I think I would too. What do they call that? Fan run out of context or something, I hear the guys say.
Yeah, there's a Twitter account that.
Is there? Okay, what is it called? Is it called Fan Run Out of Context?
Yeah.
That just like, it's constantly.
Let's see what they got.
I've heard everyone talk about this, but I guess I haven't been cool enough to find the actual Twitter account. So
not going to read that one.
What is it under? Let me see this. Huh.
Just a Twitter account.
But how's. Oh, okay, got it now.
I could really do without Bear ever saying thick again.
That's actually pretty good. Pretty good stuff. I'm going to give him a follow. Oh, man, Tucker Holt and Will Stevens yesterday. Ooh, good one. Good stuff there. Good stuff there. But, yeah, it's the Queen's birthday. Happy birthday to Dolly. Send our well wishes to Dolly. She is like the new, I mean, she's not as old as Betty White. Dolly's going to be around a long time, but, like, she's our new Betty White, right, that the rest of the United States and the world is going to gravitate upon.
Except she's, like, 30 times the person.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's because I've lived in Tennessee for so long, but she's always been that to, like, the people here.
Yeah, yeah, no, she has. She
but
definitely has.
I feel like she's going to take over that role on a national stage.
Yeah, on a national stage now and be like, you know, Dolly, you know, every time Dolly does something, she's America's little sweetheart. And she is. And she is.
Dolly, man.
She's done so much for her community, especially in Sevierville and surrounding parts. And just, I mean, overall, I mean, she was one of the people who, what, threw her money out for COVID vaccines as well when all that stuff was going on for research. So we give her praise today. GP3, the Vols win last night in Vanderbilt. It wasn't pretty. What were your thoughts on the game? Immediate reaction.
Way to fight, I think, is the best way to put it.
Got a lot of fight still left in them.
Yeah, a team that has no heart or has given up on the season doesn't win that game, because I think a lot of people have been questioning that around the program, if the guys just aren't really in it this year. And if that was the case, you wouldn't have won yesterday. Yeah, a lot of fight. Guys like Uros really came to play, made a couple dumb plays. The foul at the end of the first half was brutally stupid. One of the dumbest plays I've ever seen. And then there was another play where he was fighting for a loose ball and, like, was diving out of bounds for it, and the ball went off of the Vandy player. It wasn't even close. Like, it was going to be our ball, and he went and dove at it. So, I mean, he makes some knucklehead plays, but, man, he fights so hard, and it's actually been really fun to watch him play lately. Zakai Ziegler going 0-for from the floor, but icing the game away. The only way he can, getting that steal on the inbounds. A lot of grit in this team, and I'm hoping this is like a turning point for them. Maybe they found their groove, figured out what they need to do. And then I hope Triple J is okay. Took that nasty shot early and was never able to come back in.
Yeah, I haven't found anything on his status today. We'll hear some from Trey Wallace or somebody else later on the beat. But, yeah, according to last night, it's got to be evaluated. We'll see. But, yeah, I'm with you, man. That's what me and Charlie talked about. A lot of fight in this team. We talk with Uros. You speak on Zakai Ziegler. I mean, just the way these guys, you know. Fans have been really tough on them. And even though it is Vanderbilt, a road win's a road win. I mean, yeah. The SEC, still big to go on the road. And
that was
and
so annoying hearing Tom Hart talk about that just constantly yesterday, about how there are no students allowed and this, that, and the other. And so it wouldn't have mattered if they allowed students or not. Tennessee takes over that stadium every time they play.
Yeah, I don't know about it.
I mean, the students for Vanderbilt do get pretty loud, though, when Tennessee comes.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, like, it's not going to make a difference like it would if we're playing Auburn.
No, but,
Auburn,
I mean, it does make somewhat of a difference. Like, I'm sure it's pretty deflating for Vanderbilt to look where their student section should be and instead just see more adult grown men Tennessee fans.
Yeah.
But also, did I hear that right? Like, they said Vanderbilt students are only allowed to leave to go, like, shopping to class and, like, to get food.
They got
and
them
their elders yeah. keeping them in their dorms.
They've got them quarantined. Like, really? if you come back from a break, there's like, a mandatory two-week quarantine or something like that.
Because they won't let them. I feel like it's already been, like, 2 weeks. That's crazy.
And then I also noticed that the sideline reporter was wearing a mask, and you don't see that anywhere else in the SEC.
Well, that's why people were mad at the announcers all night. I really like Dane Bradshaw, and I think they did a decent job last night. But people kept getting mad at him for missing, like, messing up players and such.
Yeah, they had him so far back.
Yeah, they had him, like, up top.
Oh, really?
Because they wouldn't let him courtside because of COVID. Because Vandy's
near nobody, like, in the middle of the stands.
Yeah. Vandy's just apparently
not great at all. Vantage
like,
point not great.
In a city that just doesn't even care anymore. Vanderbilt is just California. It's kind of weird. But
got their own mandates.
They just have, yeah, there's their own little community that just
is when you charge them
like a prison.
I mean, people wonder why Vandy athletics suck. I mean, outside their baseball program. But, I mean, their administration does nothing to help them.
They just don't put athletics first.
They do not. And they never will.
Or even second.
Or third. Or fourth.
Well, hey, hold up. They put baseball fourth. Baseball gets to be fourth, and then like a couple other things.
Kind of. They still have an awful stadium. Like, I mean, they got a good baseball team, but they play in a crap hole.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, but I think you guys, I mean, you're right. The key focus from the key takeaway from the game is the grit that they showed late, able to close out a game. I think we've probably questioned, can this team close out games down the stretch? And they were able to do that. We'll see if they can bounce back versus LSU. Now, after the win last night, how do you guys feel with LSU coming to town now? Feeling a little bit better? If you see them, you know, grind out, you see a little bit from Euros. Kendi Chandler stays consistent.
I feel better because we're going to be at home. I mean, there's that aspect of it.
I really think the fans will pack it out, too.
Yeah, I do, too. So I feel good in that aspect, but I don't think anything from yesterday's game really instilled any confidence in me that we're better than a team like LSU or Alabama or Auburn or anything like that. but, I mean, I feel better than if we would have lost, I guess.
You're massaging that banana. What are you thinking?
What?
I say you're massaging that banana. What do you think?
Chance is trying to get on fan run out of context.
I was just holding my hand.
I just see him like, I was like, well,
I was just fiddling with it in my hand a little bit while I was
thinking. I'm saying that's something that's going to be on fan run out of context.
But no.
You're just massaging that banana.
I mean, he is, though.
I'm just flipping it around in my hand. It's my thinking banana.
That's what I was like. Is this like one of those tension balls? I just see it in my peripheral. I'm listening to you.
One of those realistic stress balls.
It's an actual banana. I got it at the gas station this morning.
LSU lost a tough one to Arkansas.
And Arkansas, kinda, I guess.
They have Alabama tonight.
LSU does.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a good tough matchup.
We have a very good SEC slate tonight, all around.
Yeah, there are only three games yesterday.
Yeah, the Wednesday slate is killer with Mississippi State, Florida, with LSU, Alabama, Kentucky, A&M, and Georgia plays Auburn, but. The other three games are great. Lock it in now. Kentucky's going to get upset tonight. Lock it in.
They play Texas A&M and Buzz?
Yeah.
Lock it in. Okay.
Lock it in.
Go bet the house on it is what Charlie said.
Mississippi State money line. Parlay it with Kentucky money line, or with Texas A&M money line and LSU money line. All three dogs. The dogs are barking tonight. This LSU game, however, I wish that, or I guess, the on-ball pressure that we were able to apply consistently last night, obviously you're playing a worse team. But if we can replicate that to some extent, you know, I would maybe feel a little bit better about the game on Saturday. You know, I'm trying to really figure out how Arkansas, you know, really won that game against LSU. I know I watched it. Like, I'm looking at the box score, and I don't really know what they did specifically. I mean, they out-rebounded them by 10, but they didn't force a ton of turnovers. You know, they didn't shoot some crazy percentage from the field. They didn't shoot a ton of free throws. They just kind of outworked LSU a little bit, and they frustrated them, and they did kind of get it inside some. You know, we saw Urosh have some success in the second half against LSU. You know, I think you can kind of try to replicate that a little bit. I don't know if Xavier Pinson's back yet for LSU or not. Sorry, I should know, but I don't.
It's okay if you don't know. I don't know. I'll look it up for you.
Let's see. I'm just looking at the box score against Arkansas. Pinson did not play. So we'll see if Xavier Pinson plays tonight. He's a key piece for LSU.
According to The Advocate, he is. Will Wade said guard Xavier Pinson is a game-time decision for tonight's game.
Okay, because I know, like, even last week they said he would not be out for long, that it would be, like, more of a day-to-day thing. So
yeah, he's a game-time decision.
That makes sense then. You know, if he's back, things get tougher. Obviously, that is part of why they lost Saturday, is playing without Xavier Pinson. But I don't know. I feel like it's a real coin toss Saturday.
Yeah. I feel decently confident, not just because of, you know, gutting out a Vanderbilt win. I just think these guys, you know, a little chip on their shoulder going in. They didn't like getting embarrassed down at LSU. You get beat by 12 down there, and you have them coming here in TBA. And Rick Barnes hasn't beat Will Wade down in Baton Rouge at all, has he?
No.
I think he's been 0-for down on
maybe one of the first years before LSU.
We've only beaten him once, so it was either here or there.
Oh, we beat him at home right before they hired Will Wade. I remember that game.
Okay.
We've only beaten Will Wade once.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
So now it's time to get a little bit of more of a monkey off of his back, though, too. But I think they come out pretty fired up for the game. I do expect fans, with the way the other game went, come out and be pretty vocal for this game. Hopefully it is a sellout crowd. And, yeah, they can feed off the fans and the home court advantage. Kind of what LSU did there. I thought the crowd at LSU, their student section, their crowd was really into that game versus Tennessee. Like, they very much thoroughly enjoyed whooping Tennessee's ass. So, hopefully get the same outcome here for Tennessee basketball for their fans. 865-546-8200. That's the number if you want to jump on the G3 Help Me hotlines. Speaking of G3, if you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, well, let the law offices of G. Turner Howard III, let them get you the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. You need to visit g3helpme.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's g3helpme.com. Again, g3helpme.com. All right, GP3, let's go ahead and take a quick time out. Other side, we'll wrap up hour number one. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz. Not the tiger. Good stuff right here. So throwback. Joe Exotic. What a time to be alive.
I thought I heard this.
Yeah, what a time to be alive for Joe Exotic when that was going on. Wrapping up hour number one here.
No, they got a season two now.
I just want to keep hearing this.
No, go for it.
Tiger. I forgot about this.
Did you ever watch the one they came out with a couple months back?
I haven't watched it yet, but I've been meaning to.
And a tiger saw a man.
It was decent. It was basically a lot of him in jail and, like, still talking about, you know, Carole Baskins and things, like, trying to and pretty much guys and people going around the United States trying to get him pardoned whenever the election was going on.
Yeah, because I remember that he was, like, trying to get Trump to pardon him before he left office.
And he had a bunch of supporters that were trying to get him pardoned by Trump.
And Trump said no.
Yeah.
He just, like, oh, he hates me because I'm gay and all.
Yeah. That's a lot of that in the documentary. It was decent, though. It was better than the one that came out immediately after it. Like, there was, like, one in between.
Oh, that was, like, just, like, a recap of the talk with everybody.
It was, like, just another interview with everybody. But this one was good. This one was actually
I have to watch it.
It was pretty interesting. I watched it probably about a month ago. It
takes me back to the beginning of quarantine
I had to watch it. I got into it and, like, turned on the first episode. I was like, I'm stuck. I'm here now. And I've watched all five episodes. I think it is, like, five or six episodes. And they're not too long, too. I think they might have been 30 minutes.
I never did watch the second part. I don't know.
The second part, not as great. Like, the documentary they just had come out a couple months ago, pretty funny and pretty good. It tells you a lot behind the scenes, and it pretty much focuses on him, Jeff, and then Carole Baskin, and, like, about how they're all, like, taking each other's zoos, sanctuaries, whatever you want to call them. All right, Charlie, you said you got a pretty good story for us here at the end of hour number one.
More so an interesting anecdote.
Any final thoughts on the basketball game? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
I didn't get to talk about it, but we got to get more from Fulkerson offensively.
I think so. Well, the one thing I did say, I was like, I don't know who the leader is. We thought the leader was going to come in. It was going to be John Fulkerson, but we're hearing a lot from Rick Barnes. It's guys like Urosh. I mean, still Triple J being pretty vocal, but Urosh is.
Oh, I believe that. Be a big leader. Especially after he stood up for Santee last night. Yeah. I mean, he's a dog. He'll go to war for anybody.
He gave you some Steven Adams vibes, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Gave you them Steven Adams vibes. But, yeah, like, you got to get more focused.
Good for Vescovi, too, for fighting back. I mean, he was getting bullied around and, like, just refs weren't doing anything.
People think he's soft because of the international game. He's got a lot of fight in him as well.
And I didn't like.
He's just polite.
I didn't like that Rick Barnes benched him for, like, the next 5 minutes after that whole scrum took place. Like,
Urosh or Santee?
Santee.
We had four fouls.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Well, down the stretch, I mean, they tied it up. It would have been nice to have had him back on the court.
Yeah, I mean, you just didn't want to foul him out, I guess, too early. But I don't know. Fulkerson, it was like he wasn't even looking for a shot last night. We also didn't really try to put him, I guess, in situations where he was, you know, getting it on the post up a ton. But I still felt like he attacked the basket at times decently. You know, his defensive effort and his defensive rotation should not go unnoticed. You know, Tennessee kept executing the triple switch on the screen and roll. And John Fulkerson was a big part of that. He played really good help defense when he got stuck on the switch. I thought he played well. And he played really hard last night. You know, I thought the heart and the fire was there. It's just the offensive output's just inconsistent because
Do we think he's hurt, or is he still just like effects from COVID?
I don't know.
Because that COVID, when the last time he got COVID, I mean, it really affected him to where he was not the same person until like the end of the season, and then he got popped in the eye.
Obviously, I don't know what's going on. It just, if he was really affected by this last go with it, I feel like he would have missed more than one game. That's just the way I look at it. Obviously, I don't know what's going on. I don't know the ins and outs of him, but it just seems odd that he only missed one game, is able to come back, and just, he's not the same guy that went toe-to-toe and dropped 20 points on the sixth-ranked Arizona team we saw a month and a half ago.
He's not. He's clearly, something's up. I don't know if it's just the effects of the COVID bug or if he's hurt and trying to play through it, but there's definitely something going on with John Fulkerson. So we, and it's not just about our expectations wanting more. You can just see it in his game. Like Charlie said, not looking for a shot, looking fatigued on the court. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. Charlie, what's your entertaining story, though, to wrap up the hour?
Yeah, just an interesting anecdote. Yesterday, we had a little 2 p.m. basketball action.
Was that Baylor?
No, they played early,
too.
They played at 5. We've been getting that lately. Like, last week, USC played Stanford and lost for their first loss of the year at 5 Eastern time on a Tuesday. It was 2 p.m.
What are they doing?
I have a buddy that wrestles at Stanford, and I was like, hey, you going to the game? He's like, no, I have class. He's like, and it's Stanford. Like, you can't just skip class here to go to a basketball game.
Oh, no.
So, no one saw them upset USC, I guess. But yesterday afternoon, we had the St. Peter's Peacocks hosting the Canisius Golden Griffins. Yeah, I know you're excited. A little Metro Athletic Association conference, whatever you call it. And this game had more than double the amount of money wagered on it than last week's, like, Tuesday night primetime Baylor-Texas Tech matchup. More than double. Because that's how addicted we are as just a country in general, where we are just all picking a daytime basketball game just because it's on and gambling everything. So there was just like a moment where, at least in my Twitter circle, everyone from like 2 to 4 was just watching this Canisius St. Peter's game and tweeting about it. And St. Peter's at the Yanatelli Center in Jersey City, New Jersey, choked away -7.5. Had it in their grasp.
Dang.
1 by 7. And everyone was pretty upset. Everyone also had the over and went under. Everyone lost. But
a lot of people said that about Vanderbilt last night, choking away the +6.5.
I just thought it was very, very interesting, fun little anecdote that that many people were gambling on daytime basketball yesterday. It is one of my favorite hobbies is when you get the
gambling?
No, like specifically
oh,
daytime mid-major basketball. But, yeah, that was my fun anecdote of the day.
All right.
I thought that might take one
pretty
more
good
minute. So
pretty good. Not bad. Interesting. I liked it.
Are you going to gamble on the XFL or the spring league that's starting this league or
is
this
it
year,
coming
too?
Back?
The XFL's coming next year.
The XFL's coming back.
But there is a spring football league that's starting up here. In
they did that last year, though, didn't they, the spring football league? I remember seeing that.
Yeah, but I don't know if this – I think they're under, like, a new management or something like that.
Well, The Rock bought the XFL, so.
Yeah, but
hopefully
I don't,
that goes well.
I don't think that's starting until 2023.
I just hope it goes well. I like the XFL.
It can be entertaining.
He hate me.
He hate me. That will always go down in XFL glory. All right, hour number two. We'll go ahead and jump to an opening drive. We'll talk a little NFL playoffs. Got some other housekeeping notes that we have missed in the last couple of days. We'll talk about Josh Heupel quickly and more. So keep it locked here for hour number two. Start off a little opening drive. Hour number one's in the books. Hour number two up next on deck. Keep it locked here.